break it on down, 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 down. I'ma break it on down.
And you listen to Blow On This Radio.
Please allow me to quickly introduce my persona. You can mull it over dank weed over corona. I don't rip an individual's for the various rituals. I'm not a fighting motherfucker with bad habituals. I'm Caucasian, persuasion to the utter maximum. I score lots of false gold. I don't carry a gun, I don't wield a knife, possess a bulletproof vest, I don't value my life. The city population is under investigation, someone needs to regulate all the honeys I'm chasing. Time is always fucked up between me and the lady, the latest example being my ex-girlfriend Katie, about 70 miles away, see her every 100 days, too much drama like plays, see I'm out like Willie Mays. I only shoot people if they owe to my assets, my fashion statement echoed like Jackie Onassis, wash me blasters like sulfur on matches. Master like the lock, security lashes. I've hacked the city, I've hacked NASA many a time. I've been convicted of committing multiple art crimes. I've stolen over 10 grand worth of merchandise, though they never realized until it came a surprise. I've traveled many places and avoided altercations. I used to like computers, but now I like racing. About 5'9" and I'm thin for my age. 135, small like macrophage. I dropped out of school, but I got my GED. Many companies requesting that I get a degree. They say, fuck all the high school equivalency. They say that experience proves the mastery, but I doubt that I'll see my high dollar salary without a piece of paper to state the double E. I gotta make my million without fraud or stealing, without shooting someone or hurting someone's feelings. I'm very protective of my ultimate objective. Alrighty then, Ace Ventura, pet detective. Check the vibes and times of the real ceremony master.
Pass my panty.
Whitey cracker, whitey cracker.
Don't fuck with the whitey cracker.
719. 719.
Whitey cracker, whitey cracker.
Don't fuck with the whitey cracker.
719.
Whitey cracker. Yeah, when I was a youth, my aspiration was to be a poet. Emotions wild like the oceans, but I turned up stoic. Apathetic is pathetic, but nothing even fakes me. Complacent, hell adjacent as the world that raises me. My heritage consists of multiple mad nations united. I love to rap, but my love goes somewhere unrequited. I battle in the saddle like was a Colorado outlaw. Doing the opposite, I write like left as a southpaw. My goal is to be richer than the world rich itself. Then share my wealth with those along the way that help. When that day arrives, I'll be happier than ever, proving that it pays off to prove that you're clever. But I know that my life cannot last forever. From this mortal core, I know my soul will have to sever. So I produce my music for now to ease my dome piece until the time comes that I'm dishing out my onlys. Now I can share my CDs with my nephews and my niece. I'll probably have no children cause my wife will be obese. I've cried too many tears and I've justified my sadness. Bring me joy like a boy, put an end to this madness. Check the vibes and times of the realest Springs hacker. Yeah, the Daddy Macca. Whitey cracker, whitey cracker.
Don't fuck with the whitey cracker.
719-719.
Whitey cracker, whitey cracker.
Don't fuck with the whitey cracker.
719-719.
Whitey cracker, whitey cracker.
Don't fuck with the whitey cracker.
719-719.
Whitey cracker, whitey cracker.
Blow On This Radio, Episode 4. I am DJ Mosk.
And I'm your other co-host, RXSE.
And we are back in the hizzle.
After about a 3-month absence, during which I successfully battled my addiction to prescription painkillers.
And I just kind of got the shit kicked out of me emotionally, so. Anyway, here we are, back for episode 4. And what is the time frame now? It's been like, yeah, you said like 3 months since the last episode?
About 13 weeks, I believe.
So we'll see if people are even still interested in the show, for sure. I mentioned it on a couple message boards, and people are like, hell yeah, we're still like looking forward to it, so yeah, here we are. So, what have you been up to since the last episode?
Well, first thing I did when I got out of finals was go home and download the Dragon Warrior 1 ROM. I remember I got the game back in the 90s as part of a Nintendo Power special hoo-ha poo-bah deal. You get like a bunch of free player's guides and all sorts of free video game, and that was Dragon Warrior. And I remember it was a pretty tough game. I was only like 9 or 10 years old, but I basically got some interesting Game Genie codes for it off the internet and went through from start to finish in about 4 hours. So, and that was the first day back. And after that, I kind of got back into my Mario 3 hack. For those of you that don't know, I am doing a ROM hack of Mario 3 in the theme of a lot of the iMockery.com ROM reviews. They basically, iMockery.com is a site that's somewhat dedicated to video games. It's mostly a humor site, but a lot of the stuff has to deal with video games. And they have a special, like a sub-site within that deals with reviewing or critiquing probably the most bizarre, inane, and downright utterly stupid ROM hacks imaginable. You've got, I know you like the Teenage Mutant Ice Chipmunk.
Yeah.
I think the funniest one by far, in my opinion, is the one from Mega Man 6. I forget the actual name, but that one is just far and beyond. I mean, it's just, I can't, words can describe it, but I can't use them. I just have to wash my mouth out with, like, double-proof Listerine, and even that wouldn't do it. But anyway, if you get a chance, read that site sometime if you haven't already. It's good, and also it's good to kind of go over there and get ideas for my ROM hack. I mean, I just finished putting Wilford Brimley in the mid-level castle, I think just last night. I'm going to get a playable demo version of my Mario 3 hack. Not the whole, the thing, you know, altogether the finished copy, but like a playable demo to kind of show what's going to be going on. That should be up, hopefully by next week sometime. I hope to have the first two worlds done, all the major glitches ironed out a bit. There'll be some minor ones in there for sure, but I'm going to have to have a nice prototype version. That's what I've been up to.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that reminds me, the Blow On This Radio's website is still BOTR.RAMAPRO.com, and it's still a really basic site. I haven't put together any design for it yet. I need to get around to doing that, especially when we're going to be putting up more content onto it. And there is a link to that iMockery site already on Blow On This Radio's website, so it's easy to get to for our listeners. And I guess I can go ahead and mention this, too. Just go ahead and send us any email for feedback or anything like that to blowonthisradio@yahoo.com. I don't check it that often, I admit, but I do every now and then, and there's usually some email in there waiting for us. But it's never really any questions. It's just mostly just feedback, just telling us, like, yeah, they're looking forward to the next episode. Nothing that we can really read on the show yet. It'd otherwise just be like patting ourselves on the back.
Yeah.
But no negative feedback yet, except for some joke ones that people are telling me that, like, you know, I suck. Things like that. Well, anyway, yeah, for me, since the last episode, let's see here. Like I said, my ass has been kicked emotionally. So, yeah, my girlfriend of 4 years broke up with me, and that sucked. And then college started kicking my ass, and that sucked. And I pretty much dug myself out of the hole. I've discovered that there's lots of girls out there that are very nice. And so, yeah, things are definitely looking up. It's a brand new day, and we're ready to, you know, bring some Blow On This Radio back up in here. So here I am, and I haven't really been doing that much, just kind of been sitting around and doing whatever, working on art, that kind of stuff. I haven't really played much for video games. Actually, I did start playing some just obscure NES games that I found that I probably would have never, ever played in the past. I think I started playing some McDonald's game called McKids for the NES, and it's actually kind of entertaining. I had some girl come over to my place, and we were sitting there playing McKids, and it was fun. So.
Is that the one where you got to save? Was it Ronald McDonald asks you to save the world from the evil?
No, he wants you to help him like get his magic sack or something like that.
Yeah, the Hamburglar, the Rubble Rubble guy, stole his magic sack.
Yeah.
Now, if that isn't the scariest plot for a video game, I don't know what.
And it's got to be politically correct. So there's a white kid, there's a black kid, and at the end of each level, they give each other a high five. So, yeah, it's a pretty weird game. And
man.
Anyway, it's pretty fun to sit there and play that when you're sitting there and you're, you know, drinking vodka and having a good time. So. That's another thing I've been doing for, like, let's see here, last Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I was drinking, having a good old time, so, yep.
I actually haven't had a drink in about almost 5 years, come January 14th, and it's nothing I really planned, it just happened that way, and I'm going to, you know, have my 5-year record, and there you go, that's...
Not that for me. That's some willpower right there, though.
Well, it's not willpower. It's just, I started back in 99, it was all of a sudden, oh, I haven't drank in a while. Yeah. Even back then, I wasn't much of a drinker at all. It was just,
before you're even 21, though.
Yeah, technically. But it was just a kind of a casual thing every now and then, and after a while, I realized, wait a minute, it's been kind of a while. Let's see how far I can keep this going. And it just kind of snowballed on itself, and, well, we're going to come to the half-decade mark in about half a month or so. So,
okay. Yeah, and back to the breakup I went through. That's, you know, it's the first time I ever had to go through something like that. That was that emotionally damaging. And so
yeah.
I definitely got some things to say about that. And since this is our, you know, our estimated hour-long show for us to say whatever we want, I'm thinking about doing a rant at the end of the show about that sort of thing, and
yeah,
that maybe would help people in the future if they go through a similar thing. So I don't know if that's going to be on there yet or not. We'll see. And that's pretty much all I've been up to.
I did get a copy of a Nazi Dr. Mario ROM hack. It actually made it to, was it level 23? I was never that great at that game back in the day, but actually, you know, it's, once you get figured out, it's actually pretty straightforward.
So did you have a nice holiday?
I had a pretty good holiday. I've got some minor complaints. I'm talking about going on a rant later. I might just slide into one right now about... and I have my relatives just fine.
Go right ahead.
You get a couple, you know, people from Cobfuck, Iowa come to the big city for a Christmas holiday, and they're the nicest people you ever meet in your life, but they're not quite so quick as far as... you know, when I'm on the computer and I'm doing... I got my headphones on, and I got the mouse out, and I got a controller in one hand, and, like, some mouse in the other, and I'm doing pixel hacking or something, or I'm really intently staring at the screen, like I'm trying to do something at concentration. Do not come over and ask me, you know, is the website up? The website, as you call it, is always up. It does not go down. First of all, it's called the internet. Yeah, just, I'm going to stop right here because I don't want to earn any extra considerable ire from my deceased ancestors, who I realize now more than ever, my two grandmothers passed away about 3 years ago within a couple months of each other. They really do... you know, grease the skids as far as holidays are concerned. They get, I mean, all the food. I mean, my mom's trying to, like, do all the stuff for, like, both of them combined, plus her own role, and that's why she's all, you know, about this close to losing it half the time during holidays. I just go to the Chinese place and get, you know, takeout, and that's what I eat during holidays. So. But then again, that pisses them off, too, because it's like, you know, how come I'm not eating what they're eating?
Well, you see the latest South Park where they're, like...
Mr. Tung Wu Kim or whatever it's called.
No one wants to order. No one wants to order Chinese food on Christmas. Might as well close. That's one of the best characters ever on that show.
They get that guy and that hamster, whatever the hell it was, a couple about a year ago.
Lenny Wink.
The same episode together. It's gonna be like all time. Yeah.
That's the yeah, and at the beginning of the show we had Wintermute, one of my good buddies right now, sent us one of his it was a 14-minute long turntable mix that he put together for our shout out for the show, but I don't think I could use all 14 minutes of it, so I chopped it up a little bit, and you'll see how
just
that
a little.
That works at the that works at the end. But yeah, I might include some of his mix at the end of the show so you guys can hear it. And yeah, so
I guess we're not as worried about copyright as we used to be.
No, fuck the RIAA and the MPAA and Quest too, because Quest sucks. And MediaCom.
Yeah, and MP3.com.
MP3.com.
They can, well, they don't really exist anymore, technically, but they're still charging me for a service I never technically received, therefore, fuck them.
And, yeah, and fuck Walmart, too. Whether companies suck ass.
Yeah, I'm not big on that eminent domain stuff. I don't mind Walmart, the company itself, but all that eminent domain abuse, that kind of frosts me.
Me and our ecstasy went to Walmart on Christmas Eve together. We were looking for a... He wanted some help looking for a camcorder, or... Yeah, I guess I can say it now.
Yeah, that's on this Arizona water beat. Just don't do it very loud because people are still upstairs. So
yeah, we're in the basement of his house. If anybody ever cared to know,
this is where stuff actually transpires that affects the world. So
yeah, just come home from college and hang out in RXC's basement and record some shows. So, and anyway, yeah, we were at Walmart, which some refer to as the greasy cock of capitalism.
Ooh.
Yeah, so big shouts to Bland Inquisitor on that one. But, yeah, we were there looking at stuff, and, God, just people getting in my way, and pissing me off. And I just amaze our ecstasy with the things that I say to people, like, random people who get in my way.
You have no inhibition whatsoever. When you get out in public, you have no inhibition.
Just like, old people suck. Fucking old people are in my way.
This fat bastard, about 4'5", 260 pounds, with a sludgy... Or what do they call them, squishies, ICs, what do they call them?
Yeah, ICs, I think. Or
he's it's like 2 inches from the damn camcorder, or the little plastic lid is taken off for some damn reason. Lord knows what that is.
I have to say right out loud, I'm not going to stand by this fat ass anymore. I'm going to go stand over here. Just like, right out, like, I don't care what people think, really, man. Anyway, we saw some people we went to high school with, otherwise known as Jarv, and his brother, I don't know, Nick or whatever, I don't know what his... gangsta name is, but yeah. They started their own record label a couple years ago called
Hood Studios.
Hood Studios.
Now picture white suburbia in Iowa, okay? This is Michael Drive, to be specific. I guess Michael Drive is the hood nowadays. I wouldn't know.
Which is a probably an upper middle class neighborhood. Which is
thereabouts, yeah.
Which is now the hood.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they put together, you know, some songs about, you know, the hoes and the pose and
going to places and going to other places, even though they're not 21. And Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, we'll have to mix some of that their music into the show.
Amazing works of tone and rhythm that they are.
Actually, we should go ahead and just do that now. And we did put together a parody of... actually, I owe all the credit to that, to our ecstasy.
This has nothing to do with video games, but it's funny, so...
So, yeah. Anyway, we were just kind of making up for the lack of material.
We'll get it probably in, I'd say maybe like a good 2 episodes worth over the next week or so, just to make up for it and get back on our average.
So if there's little video game talk in this episode, we apologize. But we have some good content. Without further ado, here is the first one. It's a song by Hood Studios, followed by the parody.
See if you can tell which one is which.
Yeah.
Jarvonline.com.
Stepron.com.
Back all up in this again. It's that trumpet beat a little bit.
Man, that shit's already up.
Turn it off.
It's up, man.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Better say the name. Jarv. You go in my car, we'll go off to the bars. Even if you're not 21, Just look at what you can do with your tongue. Ooh, girlfriend, you know you're ready. We'll go nice and steady while you're riding in your Chevy. But we'll ditch that and go off getting something heavy. Hot and heavy steam in the back room. You know I'm gonna go vroom while I'm going zoom zoom in your cooch. You can ride in my coupe, the 87 Legend Coupe. Yeah, I wish I had that, but I don't care if your name is Tap, cause I'll still tap that. Yeah, cause you know, best believe me, JRV, you know how it's always gonna be. I'm knocking you all up when you're banging your head on the ceiling. What are you gonna do next? Oh, I'm always texting and flexing. You know I'm never checking these hoes, checking them out if they're hot. You know it's gonna go down to the right spot. I know where that's at. You know I'm all about a freestyle. You know it's gonna be, you're gonna take a while, cause I'm gonna go to Kyle's house in a bong. You know I'm gonna go ride in my Honda, Bonnie Anaconda. Ain't know what I'm saying, but I don't want you and your mama. You know I'm hot, H-O-T, be the name, J-R-V, say the initials, you know I got the game. Yeah.
Ready for more fresh blows like usual. Of course, back to Hood Studios.
Yo, fuck all these hoes. Got flow with my emotions. Throw all these damn hoes on the pomp team in the damn ocean. Fucking go into explosion. Then fucking smoke some Dozier. Cause this is Stevrone's motherfucking motor. I ain't going too fast, but you know that this whole damn freestyle is gonna last. First freestyle in a couple years. Yo, Jarv passed over another beer. You hear? Yeah. I ain't copying shit, but you know what's gonna happen next? I'm gonna go get some checks mixed, and I'm gonna mingle, cause you know this ain't the next single, but we're gonna have a song about all you hoes next week. But you know that I'm gonna go and take a peek in your house. Gonna see you and a mousetrap like you and Seth. My bad, I never said that, but you see that Stevrone.com, you know it's never gone. Take all your damn thongs, cause I'm gonna stick my dong in your coochie, and then I'm gonna go make you like a hoochie moochie coochie. I don't know what I'm saying, but you know Stevrone's a motherfucking star, and I'm gonna go to a bar even though I'm not 21, yo hon, but you can give me a fake ID cause I'm in the CID. Gonna fuck all your hoes, take a pizza, and gonna meet ya when I lick you in your ass. You know that I do that shit really fast, and you a nice ass looking hoe. One that'll say stop and not even go. Damn hoes be sucking them bananas. But you know I don't have any hoes named Hannah, and I'll say Hannah. Anyways, we got that shit good. Get it all the time, but you know I'm not spending a dime on any hoes, cause they come to me, cause I'm a true HB.
All you ladies out there, give me a ring on my cell if you're looking for a booty call.
Yeah, man. Good studio. If we stay, we be on top.
Yeah.
Jarv. Hoodstudios.com. been that ass in 03. In response to your wishes, we got another single for you bitches. This one's called No Mo Hoes. Gonna break it down for you now. Here we go. Sick of hoes. Sick of all the games. Sick of all their Pop Tart candy ass names. Brittany, Morgan, Ashley, Pam. Meet them in the bar and you're thinking, hot damn. Take the bitch home and things go back quick. Wake up in the morning with spots on your dick. It could have been me, is what they usually say. You see him with a different guy every single day. Ever notice how all the best hoes get around? Creeping, sleeping, every guy in town. Wise man would say the good land knows his game. But how can you know the game with all the goods are laid? I'm not a stack broker, but I know I'm of supply. If this were a market, its value would be dry. I've had it with the lies, and I've had it with the pain. I've had it with these hoes, and that's why I'm finally saying no more hoes. No more hoes. Don't want none. Don't want none. No more hoes. Don't want none. Gotta get some. No more hoes. Gotta get some. Gotta get it all. Now we're gonna do something a little different this time around. Decided to pass the mic to an up-and-coming rapper from Ames, Iowa. Goes by the name of R.I.Q. Take it away, R. Thank you, Char, for giving me this opportunity to bust some rhymes on the motherfucking mic seat. I had to find a few weeks from that, waiting for my mystery mate to come driving past. Then this big lunkhead came up to the house. I couldn't believe my eyes, it was just in the house. This was kind of awkward, as you might have foreseen, until we discovered that we both like green beans. Then we watched The Sum of All Fears, to which I might add, sometimes I drink beer. About this time, it was half 11, was getting hot and heavy, and I don't mind telling, I got laid. It was great. Hey, who queered the beat? I don't think so. We don't play that gay stuff here in the hood. Oh yeah, I forgot. Michael Drive is the hood now. Sure. Hey, don't screw this up for me, man. If this rap thing doesn't go through, I gotta go back to selling stupid pornographic videos. By the way, I got one real cheap for $15. You wanna buy it? Eh. What's it up? Me and Kyle and some other guys being gay in the basement. Huh. Actually, you know what? Ellie, what am I saying? Screw this, I'm out of here.
Wow. How does one follow an act like that? We'll try.
I don't know.
How about with the trivia question?
Okay.
And now it's time for video game trivia.
This time around we have, simple straight up, as always, what Nintendo game featured Mario as the enemy? Once again, what Nintendo game featured Mario as the enemy? I'm not looking for Mario Kart or Super Smash Brothers, any of that gay stuff. I'm, you know, very simple 8-bit Nintendo.
Hey, I like Mario Kart.
Yeah. His floor is like the Mario Kart, well, they go into spaz mode every time. Well, apparently every night from what I hear. Yeah, they're pretty cutthroat with that.
Yeah, so which game had Mario as the enemy?
Yep, and this is very, very basic. Don't try and outthink yourself. I've got a question I might save for the sixth episode coming up here. It's downright, like, philosophical. Well, not philosophical, it's very, very mechanical and physical in terms of explanation. I'm going to have to really type it out really well, because you don't have the advantage of graphs or charts or pictures to see, so I got to explain it with words very well. But that'll be coming up in a few episodes. I'm still figuring that one out myself. So.
Now check out this segue. Speaking of Mario...
Perfect.
What about that Mario 3 video that's been circling around?
Would that be the 11-minute Mario 3 video that shows
yes.
The Japanese... Yes. This hasn't yet made it to Snopes.com, which is the database for all the urban legends in the world, I guess. at least the English-speaking world. But it might be, and I might contact them later on. I do submit stuff to them every now and then. I think they should look at the Mario 3 video. If you haven't known about this, the video in question is basically it's a video, of this guy beating Mario 3 from start to finish in 11 minutes and 2 seconds. And it's caused some serious consternation, / you know, questioning as far as is it valid, is it not valid, and of course, the answer to that is, depends on what you mean by valid. I mean, it is an actual video, it seems to be... I've got conflicting reports on whether it's an actual guy playing it or if it's just like an animation type cartoon thing.
Or like an emulator script.
Well, yeah, that kind of thing. Basically, what I have here, we got stuff downloaded from some message board. What was it? Excite.co or something like that, which also had stuff from the actual guy's site. Basically, here we have... I'm just going to read right from this. I've been hearing the story flying around the web that the Mario 3 video was fake. Here's some info I was able to find that claims to be true. I got this off a message board. The person was posting this news from another site, but it is all shown in Japanese type. This is the guy that actually did the video, I believe. I'm sorry for those like me. Okay, apparently not. God damn it.
Anyways.
I'm sorry for those like me who felt that the Mario 3 video was one of the most amazing things they've ever seen. Truth be told, the video is fake. The proof comes straight from the horse's mouth. At the end of the video, there are URLs to two different websites. The soramini.egoism.jp, which is japans.com, is one with the proof. The site is in Japanese, but a translation done exposes the truth. And this translation is very rough around the collar, so... rough around the edges, sorry. Damn it. I'm fucking up once per paragraph here. Okay. I quote, Zero is carried out. I guess Zero is the name of the video or some damn thing. It is dropping and moving by the emulator till 1/30th of a second. Save and loading are repeated and recorded during the movie record. When a mistake is saved and made before a dangerous place, it is called touch loading. The translation is poor, but you get the point. The video is done on an emulator frame by frame with constant usage of save states to correct any errors. The only true feat in the whole video is that a person actually took the time to map out every level and know the patterns for all the enemies. Actually performing the task of playing took little skill, however. The guy, and this is the key here, the guy that did the video never actually meant for everyone to believe it was a person playing in real time. He also says, I think I am sorry very much so that the dream of the pure person who considered may be ruined. It should have written beforehand. And I am very sorry to people considered to be play up people's hands seriously. End quote. And that was, I read that perfectly. Also in the translation it states that the guy took 2 years to do it. The Japanese must have a lot of free time on their hands. Yeah. And then for a full transcript of the translation, very loose, there's give you the link here. And I've also got stuff printed out here. Here's basically, if you didn't understand any of that, essentially, the guy used an emulator, not an NES to play. When he played the emulator, he moved Mario frame by frame. He saved every frame of the game, so if he made a mistake, he could just go back to the previous frame and correct it. Or in the case of the hands in level 8, or world 8, I should say, they come up and snatch you as you go over the boxes, he just removed the frames of him getting snatched. Since there are 30 frames playing per second and the video is 11 minutes long, he went through almost 20,000 individual frames. And then the video basically played the individual frames seamlessly as though the game was being played in real time. And as DJ Miles pointed out, the audio is actually... he must have put the audio in over it and layered it in somehow because the audio, is, as far as we can tell, is perfect. Seamless, in fact. And DJ Miles and I did a kind of a little investigative work on our own here. We watched the video a while ago while we were doing preparation. And we noticed 5 things we thought were kind of screwed up. And it turns out most of them were just kind of... not really, you know, it was one of those situations. What do you call it when you think something's there but it really isn't?
Yeah, it's kind of like an iffy.
Yeah, but basically the only real strong thing we got was that the timer is kind of fucked up, especially in worlds 1-1 and 1-2, especially when he's running, and that's basically just because the save states, it really is, you know, the animation. It's think of it as kind of like a cartoon in a way, is that the timer gets very, it slows down when you speed up, which is strange. Another questionable thing is that in the end of World 1-3, everyone knows they get the first warp whistle by holding down on that stupid white block for 5 seconds and then going behind the scenes, so to speak. He doesn't actually drop down through the block. He just holds down for a while and then runs off it, and he's behind the scenes. That, we thought, might be a difference between the American and Japanese versions, because it is the Japanese version that's being played, which is very obvious when you get to the actual warp whistle Toad House. A couple other things here. There are a few tank levels in World 8 where he almost... you think that guy should have gotten hit by at least that one bullet right there, but apparently not. Bowser can be killed. Listen, I didn't even know this. I've had this game for almost a decade and a half. This has been out. Bowser can be killed by fireballs. It takes 36 hits. DJ Malsk and I, we took us a couple tries, but we did it. Thank God for save states.
Yeah.
And yes, there are donut lifts in the upper path to Bowser in the castle, so there goes that idea. Essentially, it's... the guy does, I think, deserve a lot of credit for going through all this. Like I said, it took him 2 years, 20,000 frames, and just put all the effort into it. And I don't think he should be bashed for something he never intended to. He never intended to put this out there as like an actual, you know, real-time thing. So that's kind of a strawman argument to bash the guy for, you know, supposedly being a fraud.
Yeah, if anything, it's more of a proof of concept. Like, it could, you know, theoretically be done, maybe.
Yeah.
If,
at least
by
stage by stage. That's what I thought it was done at first, is he just did every single stage and edited it together between the, you know, because it fades out to black every between stages, ain't it? But I guess it was just done frame by frame.
Anyway, yeah, it's an impressive video.
Very.
It's just, you know, a lot of people still think it's real.
As long as you know what you're looking at.
But then there's a lot of people who know. And people, I know people who saw it for the very first time, and then they just called shenanigans because they're like, you know, they just couldn't even think someone could, you know, play that, you know, well. Or they've seen the timer going really slow when they're running. And we tested that, and it does kind of go a little bit slower.
A little bit, but not as much as...
It could just be, you know, just, you know, not, you know, kind of a glitch in the game. You know, when you have, like, a lot of sprites and things moving around, the game slows down a bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
the faster you move, the more stuff's going on screen at the time, therefore that explains
the
timer.
You know, it could just be limitations of the system, so... But that was, you know, it's a fun video to have and to see, and I'm sure everyone's seen it by now.
Yeah.
I know people who aren't even really into video games, and they got that video sent to them, and...
Well, talk about the one video game everyone who knows anything about video games has played, and that one, I mean, it's, I thought it was like the hand of God playing the first time I saw it, and I was like, jeez. I mean, the guy's bouncing off these, you know, it was the tank levels or whatever, all the cannonballs shooting at you in World 8, I mean, he gets like multiple one-ups just bouncing off those things forever, and it's just astounding.
I know, I don't even think I can even do that. I mean, that would take a lot of practice.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, maybe if someone, like, got that game when it came out, and then they just now stopped playing it, been playing it all those years, like, as the only game they've ever played, and didn't get tired of it, then maybe they could be that good now,
yeah.
But who knows, Japanese people are pretty good gamers, so. So what's next on the agenda here?
Agenda? Well, we have, if you want to do your relationship thing here, I don't know.
I think I'm going to hold that off till later.
Later, okay.
Yeah.
Fuck. Who scheduled a Christmas interview with the Sex Star of Radio Shack? Was that you?
He called me and was begging for it, so I was like, okay, we'll get you on the show, so.
Do not use that phrase, begging for it, in the same sentence as that guy around me ever again. Okay. I don't want to be too much of a bitch about
it. I apologize.
The guy rubs me the wrong way. Something about him.
He was sad. He said he lost his job at Radio Shack. And
how'd that happen?
Apparently, well, I don't know. Maybe we should have him tell you. But I don't know if I want to.
Oh, dear.
He might not want you to know, so.
Well, yeah.
Maybe he'll just go ahead and just tell everybody. He was pretty open about it when he told me.
Well, I suppose we can all look forward to that in some strange way. I guess after that we've got a review of popular Christmas games. Not Christmas games per se, but games that we play around Christmas and wine,
okay.
Traditional games, that kind of thing.
All right, well, let's go ahead and leave it at that, and let's go
okay.
Let's go bring the Sex Star Radio Shack guy in here.
Can I leave?
You probably should, if you can't stand him that much.
Yeah.
Okay, now it's time for the Sex Star Radio Shack guy interview for episode 4. And, so, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much.
So, first question I gotta ask, because RXZ asked me to ask you, is how in the hell did you get fired from Radio Shack?
Well, I didn't do anything stupid during my job. See, what happened, actually, I had the day off, but I went in to use the computer during, like, regular working hours. Because, you know, I figure, hey, I work there, might as well use the stuff. So I go in there, and I'm looking at Chun-Li Hentai, like every normal red-blooded American does, on Christmas Eve, and then, like, this old woman comes over and starts, like, ba-ba-bang about how, like, what the hell is that, and, like, what are you doing, why are you doing it, and I say, fuck you, bitch, I work here, I do whatever the fuck I want,
oh.
And then she goes and, like, gets the manager, and he's like, okay, that's it, you're out of here, don't come back, and, like, that was that.
Oh, okay, so, I was wondering how the hell you got fired on your day off, so.
That is how.
Thanks for explaining that to me. Okay, well, sucks to be you, I guess. Okay.
It really does.
Okay, well, I guess I'll ask you some generic question next. Who is your favorite celebrity?
At the moment?
Yeah.
I gotta say Paris Hilton. Because there's this video out there. it's not very good quality because it's like, it's sort of like night vision. It reminds me of like the times I go around like, you know, my night vision goggles and like, film like girls from high school, like, you know, undressing in front of windows, but, you know, so it's kind of a nostalgia factor in there. But, I do like the hip-hop song that plays. I think it's like a TV in the background or some damn thing. And there's a nice little cell phone going off, too, so it's got a lot of variety. So I like girls with a lot of variety in their proclivities.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, let me see. Let's see, what can I ask you next? What is your favorite holiday memory?
Oh, wow. This goes back a ways, but I think when I was 14, my parents had this Christmas party, and, like, my job was to, like, stay in the coat room and guard the coats so they didn't escape. And, like, that was kind of boring, so after a while I started going through people's pockets. And, like, I found this, like, this little orange vial of, like, pills in this one pocket, so I took a bunch and, like, swigged a bunch of mouthwash with them, and, like, cool stuff happened. And then I kind of lost consciousness for a while, but then I woke up and I was like, hey, I had a pretty good buzz going on. So that was a pretty good memory. Then, like, I went downstairs and all the Christmas tree lights were, like, talking to me. And I don't know what the fuck that was up with. So then I said, like, lay down for a little while, and then it just kind of went to a big blur, and before I knew it, it was the 27th.
It's a pretty interesting story. What about, let me hear the opposite. What was your worst holiday memory?
Oh, my worst? I guess that would be, I was 15, and my parents were having a New Year's Eve party, and once again, I was in charge of guarding the coats, but this time I was instructed to not touch anything or take any medication, or I'd also get my ass kicked. So I'm like, yeah, this sucks. Then, like, I went down and, like, snuck downstairs, and I found, like, you know those, Welch's has those, like, sparkling, like, juices that come out around New Year's Eve, you know? And, you know, they're,
yeah.
Like, they look like champagne, but they're not. They gave me a bottle of that to, like, shut me up, because I couldn't drink anything real. So, like, I drank that, and I'm all done with that. But then, like, I was like, huh, we have an empty bottle here. And, like, I found some hand lotion in the other room. I'm like, oh, well, we can probably do something with this, you know? So, well, long story short, it got about halfway there, but, like, then I noticed that, like, what goes in doesn't necessarily come out quite as easily. And I'd, like, walk around for the next 5 days with this, like, bottle hanging down, and, like, damn, that was not good at all. Especially when I tried to, like, break it with a hammer.
Oh.
And I got most of it off, but, like, except for, like, the nozzle part, and it was all, like, jagged, and mornings were not very fun, I'll tell you that much.
I wouldn't imagine so.
At all. And that's my worst holiday memory.
Oh, that sucks.
Especially when I had to clean the rest of the bottle out.
Oh. I could have not been told that part and been a lot more happy.
Yeah. Tis the season.
Okay, well, what are you doing now? What's your job now? Are you still unemployed, collecting food stamps? What's going on?
Well, I just had to try my hand at cartooning. And I got a couple of comic strips. See, iMockery's got this thing called Pixel Pals. And I thought, I could do that. And seeing as how, like, they haven't, like, updated it in a while, I thought, you know, maybe I could, like, you know, like, take over for them. So I, like, contacted this Rog guy. But, like, he told me to go fuck myself. And, like, so that's not going to happen. But I already got a whole bunch made up, so I thought, you know, this is kind of where you guys come in, because I figure I've been a loyal contributor to your wonderful radio show, and maybe you could, like, sponsor my cartoon for a while. I got some, like, examples here. You can, like, check them out. Check it out. I drew those.
Oh.
It's called Pixel Pimping.
Well, that's pretty graphic for that end scene right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that one.
With the tentacles and everything?
Yeah, I always wonder what's up there. It's like, yeah.
Oh, and yeah, I guess we could probably put these on Blow On This Radio's website for you.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll put those up on there for you.
I'm on my way now.
So, do you have anything else to like to say on the show, since you got some time on the air, unfortunately? Anything you want to say, I guess.
Wow.
If not, we can just get the hell out of here then.
Okay.
Okay. Well, if anybody wants to email any questions for the sex, well, what are we going to call you now? What's your name now? You're no longer the sex starved Radio Shack guy. What are you, sex starved cartoonist?
Well, I still hang out at Radio Shack every now and then when my manager isn't on shift, so,
Oh. He's not your manager anymore, so.
That's true. That's why I told him. It's like, okay, you can only fire me once, you fucktard. Now I can come in whenever I want, because I'm a customer. As long as I buy a 5-cent washer for, like, the back of a TV or something, you know, hey, you can't do fuck.
Okay. Well, if anybody wants to email us and ask any questions for the sex-starved Radio Shack guy, you can email them to blowonthisradio@yahoo.com, along with anything else you want to send into the show. So, anyway, Sick. Thanks for coming in, and maybe we'll get you on a future episode.
Excellent.
I think next we're going to talk about some of our favorite or games we look forward to playing around the holiday season.
Not really Christmas games per se, just games that tend to be played around Christmas or have some kind of special Christmas meaning to.
Probably because that's like when we finally get like time to
play.
Yeah,
or we actually get games back in the day. We actually got certain games, but I think it's mostly a lot of. I'm looking at my list here, and a lot of them are just really obscure titles that just for some reason I just played them around some December and it caught on. Back in the early 90s, so...
Back in the early 90s?
Early 90s. I guess the first one would be, for me, would be Little Nemo, Dream Master, which came out, I think, around 1991 or so. I remember that Christmas. That was a very, very bleak, it was just a very weird time for me, psychologically, because I was only 10, but for some reason I was going through all this, why are we here, what's life mean, what's the point, all this other crap. I don't know why, I didn't really see a point to anything. And that winter was just kind of like, just the end-all, be-all terminus of existence. And, I'm 10. I'm thinking back, okay, first of all, why did my parents have me on Ritalin that early? Because that's probably what I was doing.
See, back then I was thinking about, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or techno.
Yeah. I don't think we used that word back then, though. I think it was, awesome or...
I don't know if we ever mentioned that, I don't think we ever mentioned on the show that we used techno as an adjective.
Yeah, that's... big-time adjective for us.
And we've been using it for many years.
Many years.
If someone around your area starts saying things are techno as in, as saying that they're cooler in a way or whatever.
They're good, they're enjoyable. Something just happened that I appreciate.
Techno can also be a color and, a sound.
I think we've recently made it into a verb. I just technoed around all day or something like that.
I spent all Wednesday technoing around the house.
Anyways. Well, anyway, sorry to interrupt your Ritalin.
That's okay. Well,
you can go on a Ritalin rant.
Well, it's a good drug. It's just, it's got some side effects you should be concerned about. One of them is that you'll never gain any weight. Let's see. Basically, for 1991, one of the things I did enjoy that season, though, was playing Little Nemo and eating Skittles. And for some reason, that just, it works. you can get Little Nemo on an emulator now. There's Game Genie codes up the wazoo for it, so you don't have to. It is kind of tough at first before you get the hang of it, but it's one of those things that it will grow on you. It does get better. It isn't one of those like cheap things where you can't get past the first level. It's not one of those. I mean, it's one of the more you try, the more progress you'll make, and it's a good game.
That's for the NES.
NES, yeah. And it's got some good music too. I think I might use one of the MIDIs for some of the interlude music in this episode. And as far as the Skittles themselves are concerned, I mean, just go for the basic. I mean, we're talking 1991. This is before they came out with all the neon and the black light Skittles and the cream filled. And all the, you know, just don't mess with those stupid, you know, neon testicle flavor. Don't worry about it. Just get the regular, you know, one of a kind.
The red
know.
Package.
Yeah, the red package. Exactly, the red package. None of this weird crap. That'll do you just fine. What about you? What's your main Christmas?
Well, I think my main Christmas, or the game I play around the holiday break, isn't even really an old school game. It's definitely not an old school game. I like to play Half-Life from like start to finish, and just like, you know, not even. I just put my headphones on. I have some nice headphones. Just put the headphones on, kick back, and play Half-Life from start to finish. Even not within one sitting. Maybe I might take some breaks, but yeah, it's. I don't know. Just that game, you get so. You know, deep within it and drawn into it, it captivates you. And then, I don't know, I just do it around this season because it's when I get a chance to sit down and actually do it and no other worries, just sit down and have some techno.
You had a plans for like the sequel, which I guess has been delayed as far as its release is concerned. Is that gonna be like you're gonna like do like back to back now on or how you gonna?
Well,
do
I don't know. I haven't played Half-Life 2, and source code was leaked. I think pretty much everybody knows that now, but. I don't think it was everything, anyway. I don't know. I haven't really been paying much attention to that. It doesn't really affect whether or not I'm going to buy the game or not.
Yeah.
And it's going to, you know, people said it's going to make it easier for people to develop cheats for the game because the source code's available and they can look for vulnerabilities and things like that. But I'm assuming that Valve is a little bit smarter than that and they're going to rewrite a lot of the stuff they got out just to make it different. So, yeah, but anyway, I play Half-Life a lot around the holiday season. I don't play it hardly at all like any other time. I don't play Counter-Strike. I don't play any other Half-Life add-ons.
It's a good kinetics lesson.
I don't know. There's games that are really good that I really enjoy playing that, like, you know, when I finish it and was like, wow, that was fun. I don't play those games nonstop because they lose their, you know, special quality if you sit there and you play them nonstop. They're just...
Yeah. I've played the first couple levels of Mario 3 so much in the last 3 months. I know what you're talking about.
And then it's like, wow, it's not that great because I played it so much, you know? Kind of like you get sick of the same food if you eat it every single day.
Unless it's egg breakfast.
Yeah. There's some things that have the exceptions.
Yeah. I guess another one for me, I think it's kind of the same time frame, 1991, would be Kid Icarus. Really old. That's one of the first games that came out for Nintendo, I think. But that one, again... Fire up the Game Genie because it's funner that way, and get some fettuccine because I don't know why, but for me it just makes it all worthwhile. Maybe it's just the whole Greek thing. Well, fettuccine isn't that Italian technically?
Yeah,
but it's the same continent. Who cares? Pixels can't tell. And I guess kind of like what you're talking about, the games that you play too often, it kind of ruins the effect. One of the games that I don't play except for once every 4 years around the holidays is Secret of Mana. For the Super Nintendo, and that game, it's kind of an outcast as far as RPGs are concerned, because it's, you know, it's all real-time, but I do like that one. That one's got a pretty good orchestral score, and I remember the last time, when I first started that tradition, actually, it was back in 2000, so I get to play it again a year from now, I get to play it again, 3 years down. I was going through a period of my life where it was a lot of this really cool stuff that started happening, and it was kind of reminiscent of the RPG-type fantasy world where, you know, all this, you know, great prophecy is going to be realized and good stuff's going to happen, but you got to do this, you know, kill this dragon first, and, you know, it was kind of, you know, it kind of paralleled, you know, what was going on in real life, so I kind of enjoyed that. So it's good to kind of relive that. Do you have anything else for holidays?
Yeah, I got one more game that I play, too, and that's Earthbound for the SNES, which... I think it's probably one of the most underrated RPGs of all time, and it's, I don't know. I know a lot of people who are really into it, and people who just look at it, and they're like, they think the graphics are too simplified, and that just turns them away, and, you know, if you come from the 8-bit era, or even before that, you know, graphics aren't what make a game, you know. It's,
yeah.
It's, you know, the story, the gameplay, the, you know, the audio, the music score. And I think that game is just, you know, perfect on all levels as far as what I'm looking for in a game that just captivates me. And that's one of the games I can sit down and play, you know, for hours. And I remember when it came out, I mean, I came out and I bought it, and it came with the strategy guide that had these, like, scratch and sniff things in the back. And they just smelled totally rank. And, like, I found my strategy guide just a couple of days ago when I went home. I was going through, like, all my old stuff in my old room, and that strategy guide still stinks to this day.
Is this the one you had, like, in a Ziploc bag, wrapped up in saran wrap, in a cloth, in a box, in a safe, in your closet, and you still smell the damn thing?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Yeah, and anybody who had Earthbound or Nintendo Power back then knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It just, they were like these little trading cards with some of the enemies on them, and they just all smelled like stuff. That's a good idea for that game. Just, just that smell takes me back, even though it's a stupid, like, nasty smell.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like to sit down and play that.
Back that time I left the carton of milk in my locker over 6th grade Christmas break. Came back January to find a big lump of cheese in the back of my locker.
Jeez.
I put an air freshener in there, it just made it worse somehow. Man. Yeah, somehow I smell some kind of, you know, molded dairy product that's similar to that. It takes me back to, like, wonderful land of 6th grade. That's weird.
And another weird holiday memory that's been sparked, like, just a couple days ago, is that I was going through my stuff and found the Killer Cut CD that came with my copy of Killer Instinct that I got for Christmas a long time ago. And I decided just to listen to it, and I don't know, just that CD takes me back big time.
That's like 9th grade right there. 9th grade.
Well, 9th grade to us. Everyone else is like, what the hell are you talking about? 9th grade. That CD came out when I was, like, in 3rd grade. Yeah, but yes, that's what I was, you know, doing yesterday. I was listening to the Killer Cuts CD while I was waiting for people to finish unwrapping their gifts. So, any other holiday classics that you'd like to bring up? Even though they're not even holiday-related video games.
Kid Icarus, what the fuck's I got to do with Christmas?
I don't even really think there's too many Christmas games. I mean, there's one where there's some evil Santa, like, killing people. I don't remember what it was called, but
Futurama.
It was for Super Nintendo. It was, like, some Santa in Hell game or something like that. I only played the ROM of it, so I'm not even sure if it was an actual release or some homemade thing or what. But that's all I got for Christmas games. Do you have any more?
I'm sure there's, like, a ROM hack out there where, like, you know, Santa's, like, running around, like, raping little Catholic kids or something, and you gotta stop him. I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably some Mario Brothers hack. Just like every other game.
Mario 1.
It'll be on iMockery pretty soon.
Yeah, everything's on iMockery.
We need to start our own ROM hack site, since iMockery hasn't really done much lately.
I'll put Nazi Dr. Mario up there. I got a couple other ones, too.
And now it's time for the philosophy segment.
The philosophy segment of Blow on This Radio.
Yes, we're going to do the philosophy of video games. It's going to be a regular feature, hopefully.
Okay. Well, anyway, this part of the show was sparked by a question I had that was running through my mind. Was, if there was some kid, you know, that was maybe, like, I don't know, 12 or 13 or whatever, you know, that age range where they're really into video games, for most guys anyway, and they've never played any video games before, and with the huge array or arsenal of video games available now, from 2D to 3D, what game would you start them out with, considering you had all that to begin with? You know, would you make them, you know, because, like, kids today, they don't appreciate the 2D games, because, like, you know, they grew up with, like, you know, PlayStation and Nintendo 64, and they just, you know, they don't like the 2D games. They just think, I mean, they're really, really basic and simplified to them. But
they're the classics. That's where it all...
They turn away and they don't get... They just see the shell of it. They don't actually get, you know, drawn into the game like we did.
I think part of it, though, is just the way
But what if, you know, someone just hadn't played any video games before and they were a blank slate?
Yeah.
Like, well, what would you start them out with is, like, I don't know...
I don't think dropping them into Mario 3 or Battletoads would be a good
idea. Yeah. I mean, considering if they've never played it before, they haven't developed the skills as far as, you know, the control or, you know, the motor skills of video games.
I think Pong might be a little bit condescending, but Pac-Man would be good because you got, you know, both up, down, left, or right. There's no button work, so to speak of, but you can still get the basic, you know, control factors in there and maybe some strategy as far as, you know, if I go over here, they can't get me, or, you know, that one safe spot in Pac-Man, obviously, that's, most people don't know about that, but...
Yeah, Pac-Man would probably be a good one, you know, because you got just the basic directions and, you know, avoiding enemies.
I suppose Sonic the Hedgehog would actually be kind of a good one, because there's only one button you actually need to use in that game.
for the most part. And it's just, jump and run and, it's a bit more, it's a 2D, it's a bit more, varied, or what do you call it, detailed than, the 8-bit Mario games, but it's a good one as far as just, one button operations.
So we've gone from Pac-Man to maybe like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Well, not right away. I mean, you gradually work up to Sonic. I'd say Pac-Man would be a good start. Sonic would be a good intermediate to the main 8-bit, the two button or more type games.
You also got to consider is what there's too many levels. What they're into. Because then after you get through the basic gaming skills of control, they're probably going to want to go towards whatever they're into. They could go to sports games, they could go to action, they could go to, the easy way would be puzzle games. They don't require much video game skill, but there's the RPGs too, depending on what they were into. So, they could go, there could be so many different branches of where they go from there. But, I don't know, what, if you could pick, the best from each category, what you could.
Oh, wow.
Or, what, I don't know, how would you get them to, I don't know, how would you get them to, today's, or what would you even consider to be, a good level of gaming for today, where.
Well, today it's all about, I think, unfortunately, it's, like you said, it's 3D fighters, it's, all the stuff I really can't, spend much time with, because, it bores me to tears, all that stuff. I focus most of my efforts on playing the old classics and kind of revamping them, doing hacking, or, changing them around in a way. I don't think, if they're not interested in that sort of thing, it's kind of slim pickings.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say what they would be into without, having an example of a person, But I'd say if, continuing, say if there's going to be, you or something, if you had never played games.
Ooh.
And you started now, and considering what you're into now.
Well, Mario 3 is a great universal. Yeah.
It's kind of sad, though, to see all these kids today that just, see these old games and they're just,
It's kind of like all the technology's kind of run amok now, because now you can get all these games on emulators, and you can download the entire Nintendo, library in, a matter of minutes, if not seconds, and it's, for us it was the one game, Mario 3 was the one game, or just using an example, I don't want to run, Mario 3 into the ground, unfortunately we are, but, that was that one game you'd spend months of your life on. It was a nice little box, it came with a nice instruction manual. There was a cartoon on every Saturday morning about it. That was just life. And nowadays that's been reduced to basically just, pack of ROM images that you play for maybe an afternoon on the computer and go on to the next thing.
Yeah, thinking back, my childhood years, I remember, key elements of school, key elements of, video games, and maybe where I lived or where I moved to.
And they were all intertwined somehow. In math class, you'd do that stupid little math sheet in, 2 minutes and flip it over and start doing Mario levels in the back or something like that.
Yeah.
Until they yelled at you. They always yelled at me anyways. I don't know.
Okay, well, that's kind of a question we can't really answer, but we can kind of evaluate it. But,
yeah. It's something to think about.
But, starting them out, with, a Pac-Man or something like that would probably be a good idea.
Well, because I'm at that stage now with my uncle, because he was over for Christmas yesterday. And he noticed I was playing Mario. My grandpa first noticed, actually, my 86-and-a-half-year-old grandfather, who's in amazing shape, which is good because he seems to be where I get all my genetics from. He noticed, hey, that's Mario! That's that one guy you used to play way back when you were this high! I'm like, yeah, okay. and yes, that's Mario. And I was, actually, it was the ROM hack. I switched it over as quick as I could to the real, when they weren't looking, I switched over to the real version. Because I don't want them to see. Well, when you download a copy of my ROM hack, you'll see exactly why. I don't want my relatives seeing this. And my uncle was asking me if I was playing the computer, what was going on, and I said, well, yeah, I tried to explain, it's a ROM image, or it's a ROM file. They just mastered the concept of mouse, okay? They don't know exactly. Well, it's emulation. Of course, I caught myself there again. I basically told them, yeah, you can play them on the computer nowadays, the technology's there, and, theoretically, I could put this on their computer. They just got a computer a couple years ago. It's, 20 gig, it's about middle of the road as far as, it could do it. It's not a powerhouse, but it's no Macintosh, bash. Now, I suppose that might ruin my date with Ellen Feist tonight. Anyways, moving right along with my fist in my mouth, I've got, plans to kind of maybe download some video games to or some ROM files to their computer when I go up there for New Year's, and maybe get them a controller or something for an Easter gift or something like that. I kind of do it all, you know, piece by piece and kind of run through the basics, the classics. You know, I'll get my uncle. My uncle's more into it probably than my grandfather would be, but I think my uncle could get into that kind of thing. Because he's retired now, so he's, you know, he's got time on his hands.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to do something.
Was there another question we had lined up? I don't remember.
I don't know. I don't believe so. Well, let's see. My notes say philosophy segment, kids today and 2D gaming. Your notes say, be funny, college sucks, Jarv sucks. So.
Yeah, my show notes are pathetic. I just write joke at my.
Yeah, scan that. Put it up on the website or something.
Yes, my notes are, be funny, college sucks, and Jarv sucks. I think I also have a grading scale on there when I was trying to explain to RXC, like, one of my classes. Here comes a rant.
Here we go.
Okay, I had this one class that, you know, I struggled in, but I, you know, tried as hard as I could, and it got to the point where, you know, class was over, and we were waiting for the grades to show up, and I decided to go to the professor's office where the grades were posted on the door, and I saw the grading scale, and it was something like, you know, it was curved, like, big time, where, like, an A was, like, 79%, like, a B was 69%, a C was 58%, and a D was 48%. And I went there with a friend, and she had a 58%, so she had a C. And I looked at mine, and I have a 68%, and I have a C. Well, Faye didn't care at all in that class, and it's like, just about the same grade as me, right? And I'm just 1% away from having a B, which I could really use for my GPA. I'm not going to go into that, but yeah, I could really use that B. Well, anyway, I'm going to email him since I'm only 1% off. Maybe I can get it bumped up if I dispute some, you know, points on some, you know, assignments, right? And then when I email the guy, he gets back to me. First thing he does is he commends me for, you know, trying, you know, checking that base, you know, trying to. But then he's like, well, if I raise your grade 1%, I'll have to do it to everybody else.
Double hand job.
And then he tried telling me that, like, you know, that he's like, it's like speaking like professionally, 68%.
Oh, here comes the major hand job.
68% isn't even that great grade. The only reason you have a C is because of the number of people in the class who felt like, you know, were less motivated to study and do well than you were. And
speaking professionally, you're great of a course to the
And I was thinking to myself, it's like, yeah, but having a curve that sucks all that bad should say something about your teaching, but, anyway, yeah, college does suck. I mean, it's fun as far as, like, college experiences, but the courses suck. But, yeah, I have a better semester lined up for the next one. But, yeah, there's...
Spring semester almost invariably goes better than fall.
One rant.
Yeah, of many.
Yeah, and, yeah, the college grading system sucks, and I know it's not all about GPA, because in the end, it's, like, just that, it's all about that piece of paper.
Yeah, and that's what I tell myself.
People say, you know, D's get degrees, and...
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm like a C-plus student myself in the pharmacy college, and yet, you know, all these people that sit around me get A's and A-minuses, and, you know, I'm going to get the same piece of paper they get, you know, get the same pay, maybe even more if I play my cards right.
But on the other hand, like, you know, you got to stress about GPA, you still got to keep it at a certain level, as they'll,
yeah,
like, want to remove you from the college because you, like, you know, that's a whole other rant right there, that's stupid, you know. You could be getting, like, you know, C-minus average, whatever, and then, like, they kick you out of the college or something like that, you know. You're not even failing classes and you're, like, you know, passing and you're paying your money, but they want to, like, I won't go into that rant. Yep, so college sucks. So that's, like, one key item from my notes here. I think I'll circle that right now.
There you go.
College sucks. And Jarv sucks, too.
I'll put an exclamation point. There you go.
Okay, what's next?
Well, we've got a wrap-up slash trivia answer and outro.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and go into the wrap-up and the trivia. What is the answer to today's trivia?
Today's trivia question was, what Nintendo game featured Mario as the enemy? And the answer to that one would be Donkey Kong Jr., which featured a little monkey-type guy trying to save his dad, Donkey Kong, from the evil plumber.
Oh, I guess I never realized that.
Yeah. It's kind of counterintuitive, but a lot of these are.
I was thinking, like, you know, like some Wario game or something like that, but... I guess I never really ever played a Wario game. They had that one for Virtual Boy.
I played that one. That was actually pretty good.
Who was the enemy in that? Like,
I guess the very end guy who always, like, stomped in my ass. He's just, I think he's like a big, like, face of some kind. I don't know. It's hard to... He's always, like, you're jumping back and forth between, like, these two, like, layers, and it's hard to... I would go back and play that now, except for my raccoon-slash-cat hybrid creature decided to eat my Virtual Boy one day when he couldn't find anything better to snack on.
You have a controllerless Virtual Boy now.
Yeah. Actually, I was playing when it happened. I was. All of a sudden, I'm like, what the fuck? There's Montezuma chewing on the wires.
You could probably get a Virtual Boy pretty cheap off eBay, though.
Oh, yeah.
You still have the cartridges, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one system that didn't do too well. Well, I guess, I don't know if I'm going to go ahead and do my rant about breaking up just yet, but maybe I will.
Episode 5.
I guess I'll go ahead and do it.
Go for it.
And I won't mix in maybe we'll mix in some music to this. Let's see here. And feel free to join in on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, first off, you need to be very careful on who you get involved with. I mean, I thought I was with probably the best girl possible for me, but then, you know, you realize over time that, you know, hey, this girl is like an emotional or a personality chameleon, you know, where they just kind of mimic or mock whatever you're into. And, anyways, shorten things up, like, we were together for like 4 years, right? Like 4 stinking years. I didn't drop the F-bomb there, but yeah, 4 fucking years. And, the weekend before she breaks up with me, she gives me some letter about, like, how much she loves me and all this stuff like that, and can't go through life without me and all these things like that. Then, like, you know, a couple days later, she breaks up with me because I didn't want to go to the club with her because we just sat down to watch some movie together. Because her friend called, who she just had moved in with. And, I guess now I realize that moving in with her best friend, she started to do the personality chameleon to her. She was one that was really into partying and going to the clubs and stuff, whereas my ex-girlfriend wasn't really like that, and, you know, would, you know, tell me, like, she's not really into that, and it's not her lifestyle. And it wasn't really mine either, for the most part. So if we ever partied or anything, we just did it by ourselves, or, you know, with a friend at, you know, friend's house or whatever. But anyway, yeah, I got pretty down on that, and, you know, I've never been that depressed ever. And so here comes some advice for people who may be in that situation in the future. Is it's never that bad. You may feel like, you know, this is the last page of the book, you know. There's nothing from this point on. You don't know what to do. But there's always light at the end of the tunnel. There's always a new day. After winter always comes spring, you know. And we're on that now, like almost 3 months later. Man, I just look back how I was that first month or 2 months, and I was just like, geez. I fell into a giant pit, and I was just down there and didn't make any effort getting out, but I don't think I had the energy or the, you know, the drive to get out, because people tell me that, you know, that I needed just to forget and get over it and move on. I just kind of kept holding out, like, you know, holding that, you know, hope that, you know, things would change, because that was what she said. She's like, when I asked her for why she broke up with me, she's like, oh, because things change. And then I just had, like, well, if things can change that fast... If things can change that fast, then I guess they can change again. And, you know, I know what people are thinking, that she was probably seeing somebody else. And she wasn't. We were together, like, almost all the time, which is probably what the problem was. We saw each other pretty much nonstop for 4 years. Like, we were always together. And we really just only hung out with each other. We didn't have any other friends except for each other. And if we did go with our friends, we didn't do it very often, and if one of us went out with the other one would get jealous. So it was kind of doomed, but we didn't see it. We didn't want to. But yeah, now things are much better now. You do get over it, so it's not the end of the world. And first you think it's all your fault, but then you realize it wasn't.
Well, you see all the stuff you know you did wrong.
Yeah.
And you can give yourself that credit.
You learn a lot of lessons, but
then you looking back on it after the fact, I mean, everyone can see the mistakes then. You know, it's at the moment when things are happening in real time. I mean, no one could have seen a lot of that stuff coming. It's just, you know, people by their very nature aren't going to be perfect.
Anyway, my point is it's a pretty scary situation to be in. I mean, for the first time in my life, I realized why some people kill themselves. I told myself I wouldn't do anything like that, and I never did. Never even tried. But I saw for the first time in my life, like, you know, there's that pain inside of you that you just, you know, medication doesn't take care of it, sleeping doesn't take care of it, nothing takes care of it. You just have to sit there and, like, you know, go through it.
There was a situation with one of his ex-girlfriend's old roommates about, it was a Valentine's Day, I think it was this year, where he actually did shoot himself in the parking lot, didn't he?
Yeah. Like, one of my ex-girlfriend's old roommate's boyfriend was, like, really, really jealous, and after she broke up with him, he shot himself, like, in front of the building that she lived in, and, yeah, it's kind of that's a jealous way to get out of it. It reminds me of one of the Sean Kennedy rants where it's like, you know, don't kill yourself, kill other people. It's not that bad. You're like, wait a second, I have a gun. It's not that bad. But, yeah, that's one of the famous Sean Kennedy rants. That'll probably keep him out of office if he ever wants to, like, run for any form of... Anyway, yeah. I guess I don't really have much of a rant anymore about that, just because things are over and I'm happy without it. And there's...
Well, it's one of those things that I found... You know, I went through a similar situation, kind of what you did, only about maybe like 10 times diluted, like watered down a bit, because I never actually dated the girl in question, and it was kind of what I was referring to earlier with the whole Secret of Mana thing. It was all starting back then. It's basically a period of about... a year and maybe 3 or 4 months where it was basically just the stars were aligned in just the perfect way, to the point where you know that something really, really good's happening, and it isn't just coincidence, it isn't just, you know, too good to be true, you know, but it was the fact that it didn't work out really still amazes me to this day. And then at the same time, I can see stuff now where it doesn't amaze me, because, you know, it was pretty much doing from the start, given the givens. I mean, we lived, you know, so far away, and there was a slight age difference. It was mostly just, we're coming from two different parts of, you know, we were on the same page a lot of the time, but we just, one of us wouldn't realize it, and that's basically all it takes to screw that kind of thing up. But the main thing I was going through was, some of the best times, in fact, one time, we all went out to eat, DJ Mollusk and I and the girl and some of her friends. The day after that, I was just so miserable, I could not believe it, and I couldn't figure out why, because at that point, it was probably the highest, you know, point in that relationship whatsoever, and yet I'm miserable.
It did kind of seem like that was the climax,
yeah.
And it kind of went down after
and
that.
We even had a kind of a rain check as far as her getting together with me to work on my upcoming album, which actually did occur over spring break, and you couldn't ask for anything better, but yet I was just, I mean, because I think deep down I knew something's going to come and screw this up, something's going to, you know... I mean, it's not going to work out, and it's just a matter of time before this all falls apart on itself, and the wheelbarrow goes off the cliff and it bursts in flame. When that actually occurred, it was Easter 2002, the very night. When it was occurring, I mean, I knew when it was happening, when, you know, it was an IM message, basically, and it lasted for, you know, ever. When it was happening, though, I mean, I'm sitting there getting my ass kicked, and here's all this stuff, you know, here's my comeuppance, and yet, for some reason, it didn't hurt. It was, if anything, I was sitting there kind of chuckling to myself, this sure hurt a whole hell of a lot more than it does, and it was, I finally realized, after looking back on it, that was actually my release, that was actually my being set free, because I was the one being the little puppy dog wandering after it, you know, what I was never going to actually get, and it was basically a necessary evil to get that kind of, that, you know, that jarring burst of reality, this isn't going to happen. And you can healthfully, I mean, I think it's helpful to, you know, kind of deny yourself that a little bit of reality, saying, okay, maybe theoretically I could get struck by light tomorrow, and maybe theoretically this could actually have some sort of salvaging itself in the future. Fine. Because by the time you realize it won't happen, you won't care. And that is the key to getting through that kind of stuff. But that's my little take on the matter.
Anyway, yeah, that felt good. Anyway, this has been episode 4.
A little bit heavier than the previous episodes were.
Yeah.
About,
oh well, this is our.
Shall put the operating system of your choice.
So yeah. Anyway, I think it's time for us to go get some chicken fried rice or some egg fried rice.
Egg fried rice is good.
And some RC. And we'll.
Why,
yeah.
Man?
Yeah. We'll talk at you. We'll speak at you. We'll talk at you. We'll see you on episode 5.